Today on Insight for Living from Chuck Swindoll.
Jesus reveals that the secret of relating to Him is abiding in Him. And the major emphasis is union. It has to do with maintaining that vital union with the living Lord.
Falling into a performance-based relationship is one of the hazards of the Christian life. Because we want to please God, sometimes we overcompensate by trying to be perfect. And the results are frustrating, if not completely self-defeating. Today on Insight for Living, we'll see that God has designed a far more organic process, where our acts of obedience flow naturally from a relationship that's united with Jesus. This program features the first sermon in a new series called Exalting Christ, the Lamb of God. And Chuck titled this first study in John chapter 15 with one word, abiding.
Some leaders today act as if the most effective way to manage those they lead is to stay detached. You know, you just can't get too close to people if you're hoping to lead a successful organization, or so they say. Well, in my opinion, nothing could be further from the truth. According to John 15, the passage we'll consider today, Jesus, the single most effective servant leader to walk this earth, modeled the value of genuine relationships, not surface passing acquaintances, but the cultivation of deep, nourishing connections. In fact, if we desire for Him to lead us, we too must commit to staying deeply connected to Him, like fruit-bearing branches that receive nourishment from the life-giving vine. Jesus had one word for this vibrant connection between us and Him. You may remember, He called it abiding. I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to this well-known section of John's Gospel. I'm referring to John chapter 15. I'll read the first 11 verses, and I invite you to follow along. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version, John 15, 1 through 11. Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, Be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Abiding.
We are entering the season of our Lord's birth. He came that great night. I would like to transport you 33 years later to another night, which was not glorious, not accompanied by angels, nor the singing voices of the angelic host, nor was there joy. As a matter of fact, the night Jesus spent with his men was anything but those things, at least for his men. And I cannot stand or sit in judgment on them because they were admittedly confused. They did not understand. And therefore, Jesus, with great patience and much compassion and understanding, took the time to talk with these men about how they might carry on without him after he left the earth. The information that Jesus gave his men that night is of prime importance for Christians today and has been down through the centuries. As a matter of fact, as a result of applying what Jesus gave that night, we will have the joy the angels had and the shepherds had the night Jesus came to earth. One of the major truths that Jesus revealed the night he was with his men has to do with relationships. In my opinion, that one area represents the greatest area of struggle for the Christian. And it might very well be we struggle most in the area of relationships because we have never really understood what Jesus said about them the last night he was with his men. So I would have you turn to John chapter 15 as we travel 33 years after the birth of our Lord to the night before he went to the cross. And we dig together into some of the most vital truth the child of God can know. To begin with, the chapter has a major theme. And having read it through a number of times in the past several weeks, I've come to this conclusion that the major theme of the chapter is the most important relationships the Christian must maintain. Just notice in the first section, verses 1 through 11, the relationship is the believer with Christ. The believer with Christ. That's first in importance, and that's first in the order of the chapter. The key word or the key term is abide. It appears 10 times in 11 verses. Jesus reveals that the secret of relating to him is abiding in him. And the major emphasis is union. It has to do with maintaining that vital union with the living Lord, which in my opinion is the most important information we could ever know or apply. Now the second part of the chapter, verses 12 through 17, talk about the relationship of believer with believer. And the key word is love. You would expect that. It appears 4 times in these 6 verses. Love. Believer with believer. Once we have established that vital union with our Lord and maintaining it, we come in contact with other Christians. And through a love relationship, there is communion. which is the emphasis of the second part of the chapter. We have communion with one another because we have union with our Lord. Now, as you would anticipate, if you think it through, there is one other relationship that is continually a matter of struggle, and that is the believer with the world. That's the last part of the chapter, 18 to 27. The key word is hate. That's right, hate. It appears 8 times in 10 verses. That's what we can expect in return from a world that's out of touch with God and out of union with Christ, because there is disunion between the believer and the world. Disunion. There's union with Christ, communion with fellow believers, but because of this hate, there is disunion with the world. Okay, chapter 15 is of interest to us this morning, and I want to begin in the same vein as we have given you previously. I'd like to give you 4 observations of the chapter. Thank you for your patience in working through these 4 with me and through the outline, because from the information you're getting down, we're able to build a framework. Let me give you the observations I have made. First of all, the passage is for believers only. A person who is not a Christian and goes to these first 11 verses will be absolutely, hopelessly confused. He will try, or she will try, to abide in Christ, not knowing the details of that. He will work hard and struggle and labor to abide. The non-Christian doesn't abide and cannot. The only thing a non-Christian can do to become a child of God is believe in Jesus Christ. That establishes that contact. But this passage is not talking about how do you become a Christian, but how does the Christian become productive? It's for the Christian only. Now, there's another observation. The verses revolve around a symbol, the vine and the branch. The whole passage has to do with that symbol. Familiar to the Jew as the stars and stripes are familiar to the American. What the eagle means to you as a national emblem, the vine and the branch meant to the Israelite. In fact, it was often marked on their coins. It was on Herod's temple. Some people believe that Jesus was very near that temple when he spoke this and even looked up and with a passing gesture referred to the vine and the branch marked there on the temple. Third, the main subject is abiding, not bearing fruit, not even coming to know Jesus Christ. It's abiding. That's the main subject. But that leads to the fourth observation. Abiding results in fruit bearing. And that is what the chapter is all about. Or the first 11 verses of the chapter. Abiding results in fruit bearing. Now, it's for the Christian. That's basic to understanding the whole passage. It revolves around a symbol, the vine and the branch. The main subject is abiding, and that leads to fruit bearing. Now, if you get that down, at least in your head to start with, the passage will come alive with meaning. Let's take it in a verse-by-verse fashion and spend time first with the vine, and then a vine dresser, and finally the branch. I want to identify all three, or I want the Lord to do that for us, just by reading the passage. Let's get the identity of the vine. First, verse 1, I am the true vine. Verse 5, I am the vine. So the identity of the vine is Jesus Christ himself. There's no question. He declares it. Who is the vine dresser? Verse 1, he says, my Father is the vine dresser. You don't have to be scholarly or clever or creative. All you've got to do is read it, and there it is. The Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser. What is a vine dresser? Well, it's the gardener, the one who carries out the whole work of viticulture, cultivating, pruning, working with the vine. That's the Father's job. He is looking over the vineyard, and he is working with the vine and the branches. He's the vine dresser. Well, then, who are the branches? Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. There again, the answer is clearly revealed, the child of God, the Christian. Now, having gotten that nailed down, I want to go into the passage, but first I want to say something related to the importance of it. I believe God gives us certain seasons that we might pause and reflect, that we might look within as we look back. I think we need to do some serious reflection. Your future will be no different from your past unless there are some drastic changes that occur. And in some lives that are sitting right here today, there are some deep changes that must occur. You have met the Lord has found you. You have become a member of His family, maybe this past year, maybe in years ago. God wants to get your attention today. He wants to use John 15, 1 through 11 to do that. He wants you to hear what He's saying, not for the sake of your parent or your child or your mate or your friend. He wants you to hear what He's saying to you. So please, in the balance of these few moments we have left, hear the Word of God. To begin with, God speaks to the vine, or of the vine, the Lord Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He does something with it. I notice a couple of things that are important and distinctive about the vine. I notice, first of all, that Jesus says something regarding position, and then He says something regarding production. They are not the same. They're mutually exclusive. One has to do with being in Christ. The other has to do with producing fruit. You notice in verse 2, every branch in me, that's position. You are placed in Christ. You are made a branch of the vine at salvation. You are in Christ and thereby a new creation, built from within to without, a whole new creature. You came to know Jesus Christ by faith, accepting Him, eternal life, the gift, personally. You were in Christ. Now then, having been placed in Christ, you are in the vine, and the branch, your branch, you are to produce fruit. No, not really. You are to abide so that fruit naturally flows. One has to do with position. You're in Christ. The other has to do with fruit bearing. And that's the whole issue this morning from this passage. God's concern today is for those who are in Christ but not producing. Plain and simple, that's what He's talking about. All right, now, I notice in verse 4 and verse 5, you'll allow me to skip over a couple of things. I'll get back to them in a moment. Let's stay on the subject of the vine. I notice that Jesus says something about those in Him who try to produce on their own. Verse 4, Abide in me. It's interesting, by the way, that we are never commanded by Jesus, be in me. We're already in him. That's position. But when it comes to production, he says, abide in me. He doesn't even say, bear fruit. It's never a command. The only command is, abide in me. Now, verse 4 says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. I've underscored the word cannot because it seems to, in an emphatic way, drive home the impossibility of a branch bearing on its own. You cannot. And then verse 5 goes on to say, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I've underscored that. Nothing. You can be in Christ and yet unproductive. Now that concerns the Father. There are a couple of questions that probably you're asking yourself right now, and I would ask myself if I were listening to this message. First of all, what is the fruit? And second, how do you abide? Those are questions that I think are crucial to an understanding of these verses. Hold your finger here and go back to Isaiah chapter 5. This is called a passage of primary reference. The first place in the scriptures where the Lord in detail uses the same symbol is in Isaiah 5. And he uses it not with the same picture in mind, but with the same idea. In the case of Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, Jehovah is the beloved of the passage, and Israel is the vine. Verse 1. Let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. Let me transfer those words to the interpretation. Let me sing now for Jehovah, a song of my Jehovah concerning his nation. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill, and he dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the middle of it, and he hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones, wild grapes, strange grapes, tasteless, sour, no good. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more is there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? God says, I've done all I could do. Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, why did it produce worthless ones? That's a searching question. And it did. Verse 6 says, I'll lay it waste. Then verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his delightful plant. Now look. Let's stop with verse 7. Thus he looked for justice. There's fruit from the vine. And behold, bloodshed. He looked for righteousness. Behold, a cry of distress. Look at that verse. If we follow the analogy through, the production of the vine was the life of God. God says, I looked at my vineyard, and I wanted to see reproductions of my life, and I didn't find it.
Through our study of the 15th chapter of John, we're learning what it means to abide. You're listening to Insight for Living. And you can listen again to this message called Abiding online or by downloading the audio file when you go to insightworld.org. And as you're prepared to take your next steps and apply these biblical principles to your life, Let me invite you to request a helpful resource today. It's written by our teacher, Chuck Swindoll, and called Finding and Following God's Will. In this practical booklet, Chuck helps you understand what it truly means to abide in Christ and embrace all He has planned for your future. We want you to have a copy of this helpful resource, again called Finding and Following God's Will. And it's yours for the asking by going to insight.org/findgodswill. This offer is only valid in the U.S. In addition to the free booklet, let me draw your attention to a brand new experience for your friends and family, offered exclusively by Insight for Living. It's a full-length sacred concert performed by the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It comes on CD and DVD. And Chuck Swindoll frames the majestic music with devotional thoughts as well. The music you're enjoying in the background right now comes from this CD and DVD set, again called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. You'll enjoy 14 tracks of music and narration, either listening in your car on CD or watching on television with the DVD. Chuck gives the powerful context behind Martin Luther's anthem and the bulwark that never fails. The CD and DVD are available for purchase. Your additional contribution to the Ministry of Insight for Living would be deeply appreciated as well. Go to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the U.S., call 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Chuck Swindoll describes the true source of spiritual fruit. Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Abiding, was copyrighted in 1975, 1987, 2000, and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.